You, Kim.
Well, so I understand you are beginning today with World Athletics.
Kim, the 16th IAAF World Indoor Championships in Athletics are taking place this weekend in the northwestern U.S. city of Portland, Oregon. The first two gold medals were awarded Thursday night in the men's and women's pole vault. World record holder Renaud Laviani of France won the men's competition with a height of 6.02 meters. The Frenchman set his world record in 2014 at an indoor meet in Ukraine, where he reached 6.16 meters. Meanwhile, in the women's pole vault final in Portland, Olympic champion Jen Suhr of the United States won her first world indoor title with a gold medal winning height of 4.90 meters. Jen is part of a very strong 58-member USA team that topped the medals table at the last World Indoor Championships in Poland in 2014. With the home crowd cheering them on in Portland, I think the Americans will once again win the most medals. Track analyst Parker Pick Up the Pace Morse says another Olympic champion for the United States is bidding for his third straight world indoor title in the heptathlon.
Ashton Eaton in the men's heptathlon. Eaton has the world record in this event. He's the world record decathlete outdoors and also the defending world and Olympic champion. Eaton really has been just about unbeatable in the multi-events in the last couple of years. And here he's going to be competing just about 2 hours' drive from his training base in Eugene. This is probably as close to a home meet as Eaton is going to see in his career, unless he manages to hang on all the way to 2021 when the World Outdoor Championships will come to Eugene. The Americans are strong in the sprints. Barbara Pierre has the world-leading time in the 60 meters. Mike Rogers is a former world champion in that event. And Trayvon Bromell, a medalist in 100 meters outdoors, the defending champion in the women's 800, Ajie Wilson, Boris Berrien in the men's 800. 2 years ago, Boris Berrien was getting $8 an hour flipping hamburgers at McDonald's, and now he is the U.S. national champion at 800 meters and poised to take on the world.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a fantastic story. Berrien trains in Big Bear, California with Brenda Martinez, who is an outdoor 800-meter world championship medalist and will be running the 1,500 meters in Portland. Being close to Eugene means that there are a lot of entrants in this meet who are very close to their training bases. There's a training group in Eugene that includes Sheila Reed from Canada, Mo Aman, who is the defending men's 800-meter champion from Ethiopia, Sally Kipyego of Kenya. She's not entered, but she's an outdoor world championship medalist. And obviously the Eatons, both Ashton and his wife, who is a multiple outdoor silver medalist in the women's heptathlon, Breanne Thiessen-Eaton. She is a leading contender for the gold in the women's pentathlon in Portland.
Parker, do you get the sense that most of the athletes are using Portland as a tune-up for the Rio Olympics in August?
Absolutely, especially for athletes like Boris Berrien, who is new to the international scene. This is a chance for them to run an international championships where the stakes are somewhat lower and get a taste of international competition before they need to face that Olympic theater. It's going to be a very loud and enthusiastic atmosphere. Oregon is the hotbed of athletics passion, really, in the United States. There is no place in the United States with as many knowledgeable and passionate fans as Oregon. So there will be a full house, but because the track is 200 meters, not 400 meters, as it is outdoors, there's a real premium not just on speed, but also on tactics, on knowing where to be on the track and when to be there, knowing when to make your move, when to be in front, and how not to get boxed in. And those are all lessons that all of the track athletes in particular will want to learn before they are on the track in Rio.
Finally, Parker, your thoughts on one of the youngest members, maybe the youngest member of the USA team, 18-year-old Vashti Cunningham, daughter of former NFL quarterback Randall Cunningham. She'll be competing in the women's high jump. Do you see her as maybe the next face of American athletics?
She very much could be. She jumped 1.99 meters this season, which is the kind of height that a lot of world-class high jumpers don't reach in their entire career. And she just did that last weekend. There's no chance that she has lost fitness between then and now. She might need to add a few centimeters to really get up into gold medal territory. But again, the high jump, much like the indoor track events, has a lot of strategy to it. If she can get to that 1.99 height with very few misses and really put the screws to her other competitors, she could find herself on the podium as a junior. We don't see that much in the U.S. It does happen, but it doesn't happen much in the high jump. So she's got quite a career in front of her now. And if she can keep improving, she doesn't have to improve very much to really be on top of the world. We have not had a world-leading women's high jumper in the USA for decades.
Thanks, Parker. That's track analyst Parker Pick Up the Pace Morse, who's covering the World Indoor Championships in Athletics in Portland, Oregon. Meanwhile, the VOA's Daybreak Africa sportsman Mark Ouma tells us about the total prize money in Portland.
Over $2.4 million is up for grabs as more than 600 athletes begin vying for medals at the IAAF World Indoor Athletics Championships in Portland. Each gold medalist will earn $40,000. The other five finalists will earn $20,000, $10,000, $8,000, $6,000, and $4,000 respectively in descending order. Any athlete who sets a world record will earn a $50,000 bonus. The IAAF clarifies that prize money will only be disbursed after the mandatory doping tests.
You asked for it, and we're delivering more sports.
I love Sunnyside Sports.
Starting March 21st, the Sunnyside of Sports is expanding to half an hour. Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC.
Our African football guru, David Legg, joins us now for a look at recent African goal-scoring highlights in Europe.
Arsenal, their two-year reign as FA Cup holders in England is over, and it's over as a result of African goals. The first of the two in a 2-1 shock away victory at the Emirates Stadium for Watford was scored by Odion Ighalo. He's Nigerian, and he scored early in the second half. And then an unstoppable drive from Guidioro, the Algerian, gave Watford a 2-0 lead. Arsenal pulled one back with 2 minutes left, but it was too little, too late. And a team that will become synonymous with success in the FA Cup were out of the competition. And then we had that all too predictable post-match comment from Arsene Wenger, who said that the better team lost. Every time Arsenal loses a match, the better team loses. But well done then to our African sharpshooters. And Watford now through to the semi-finals. And also through Sunny are Everton, Crystal Palace. The match between West Ham United and Manchester United at Old Trafford ended in a 1-1 draw. So that match will have to go to replay. Max Gradel, the Ivorian who plays for Bournemouth, now, he's been out of action for 6 months with a rather serious injury. And he came back and scored one of the goals in a 3-2 win over Swansea City. One of the Swansea City goals came from Modu Barrow. And there was a touch of history to that one. He is the first Gambian to score a goal in the English Premier League. So well done to Modu Barrow. And a name, Sonny, we've said before on the Sunny Side of Sport. Keep an eye out for Cedric Bakambu. He was born in France, but his parents come from DR Congo, and that's where he's laid down his international roots. He scored a brace for Villarreal. Unfortunately, it couldn't prevent a 4-2 loss to Sevilla. But that is now 16 goals he has scored in Spain this season, and I think here is a budding star.
Bakambu sure sounds like a budding star, David. That's David Legg, our African football guru, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny, and happy Friday.
Happy Friday. What's trending in the sports world on this Friday, Andrew?
Well, Nike, the big U.S. athletic apparel maker, now a global brand, a global company.
Who dropped Manny Pacquiao.
Who dropped Manny Pacquiao. That's very good. You're referencing way back when we started, so very good. Nike has announced the Olympic uniforms for Team USA, and actually a couple other countries that it produces uniforms for. But they showed those off yesterday, and it created a lot of social media buzz. You had Allyson Felix, an athletics star, sprinter, modeling the women's track and field uniform. Kevin Durant, of course, huge NBA player, modeling the men's basketball uniforms.
Okay.
And Elena Delladon, who is the reigning WNBA MVP, she was modeling the women's basketball uniform. So you had a lot of the different athletes showing those off and creating, like I said, a lot of attention on social media. They look very cool, I have to say.
I don't know about the basketball uniforms, Andrew, but I imagine the track and field outfits are probably aerodynamic in nature.
They are. They actually, for the women's uniform, has sleeves, separate sleeves that you can put on, even to that level of detail, to create more aerodynamics and help these athletes run faster.
Now, Nike, one of the major outfitters of the USA team, what other countries do they outfit in terms of uniforms?
Well, I saw some from Brazil. It was this kind of lime green kind of color, for the basketball uniforms. And Canada, similar to the U.S., were a white uniform, just says Canada on the front. The U.S. was a plain white uniform for basketball, just has the athlete's number and just USA on the front. But going back to what you were saying about the aerodynamics and the speed, it's interesting, not just the uniforms themselves looking cool, but the cool technology behind them. Nike said that it actually engineered specific kinds of filaments and threads to use in these uniforms to make them breathable, to make them more aerodynamic. And this, of course, was a controversy in the last Olympics in 2014. The U.S. speed skating team said that they were slowed down because of their uniforms from Under Armour, which is another big company, apparel company here in the U.S. They said that their uniforms actually caused them to lose some of the races. They speculated that it was not properly designed. So interesting that Nike is making a big push on social media saying, look, we put out these great uniforms. They're aerodynamic. They're sleek. We've put in a lot of technology and a lot of investment into these uniforms.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. I received a tweet from Parker Pick Up the Pace Morse, who we heard from earlier. Parker is covering the World Indoor Championships in Portland, Oregon. And Parker sent me a video. I believe the way Parker describes him, it's a Kenyan athlete, Caleb Ndiku, the defending champion from Kenya at 3,000 meters. Parker says he might be the only athlete in Portland with his own rap video, his own rap music video. It's titled Run Caleb Ndiku, and I did watch it. It's very lively, Andrew. It's a great video. Lots of shots of Caleb running, too.
Well, Caleb is probably looking to people like LeBron James and other huge stars here in the U.S., or maybe Cristiano Ronaldo, who are athletes and amazingly talented, but they also are involved in maybe acting or fashion, kind of crossover success. So he may be trying to learn from them with this rap video.
And let me give a quick shout out, Andrew, for the rap artist in that video, Machakos Chalo. And I think his first name anyways is where he's from in Kenya, Machakos, Kenya. And he's the one that collaborated with Caleb Ndiku. So we wish Caleb well as he defends his title this weekend in Portland. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, speaking of Cristiano Ronaldo, speaking of Nike, which we were just talking about, one of the products that they introduced at this event yesterday was something called Hyper Adapt, and it's a self-lacing shoe. You actually put your foot in and it automatically adjusts to how tight the shoe should be based on the shape of your foot. And Cristiano Ronaldo was one of the first people to get to try this out and actually put an Instagram video out where you see him putting the shoe on and he says, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is a very cool product. So, of course, some great marketing for Nike on behalf of that soccer star.
So in other words, you don't have to bend down and tie the shoelaces.
He just puts his foot in, and you hear a kind of mechanical noise, and it apparently adjusts, so he says.